local funding for Spaceport America approved by a 1.6% margin. How could a project like this not be a landslide? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. The news has been filled the past few days with the basics on Spaceport America. But one question that seems hard to answer is, why would any county, especially an impoverished rural county, not jump at the chance to add a 0.25% to its sales tax to make this project happen? In looking for some regional and local political background on this story, I came across a great website devoted to coverage of New Mexico politics. It's a blog called Heath Hauseman on New Mexico Politics, and it offers detailed coverage of last week's ballot measure in Doña Ana County. Heath Hauseman is my guest today. We're going to talk about these issues a little bit. Heath, thanks for making the time.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Let me get into, first of all, exactly what you do, because I find this fascinating. I've been over your blog, your website, and it's very professional. And tell us how you got started in journalism and why someone decides to kind of, I don't want to say drop out necessarily, but but step away from employment with other news organizations and start your own blog.
Okay. Well, I started as a journalist in college at New Mexico State University here in Las Cruces. Got to working at the local newspaper. I've also worked in Santa Fe at the New Mexican there. Over time, I just came to believe that the internet is the future. People are getting their news online, and the newspapers weren't keeping up with the times very much. And the other thing is, there's so much happening in Las Cruces in southern New Mexico, the spaceport being a big part of that I wanted to stay here and look for opportunities to be a journalist here. So starting this website was an idea that I came up with, and I'm trying to do it professionally. And so far it's worked. I've been up for about a year. So my friend who works in economic development tells me that 90% of small businesses fail in the first year. So I've crossed that hurdle.
Well, very good for you. And I really appreciate the fact that a lot of people now are starting to step outside of the filtering mechanisms that have existed in the news business for years. I know that one of the things that attracted me to radio versus TV when I first started my career years ago was that everything in TV is a committee.
Right.
And I would imagine newspapers work somewhat the same way.
Sure, they do. And yeah, but at the same time, I wanted to make sure when I went on the internet that a lot of blogs are not very professional. They're very partisan, especially political blogs, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to take the ethical standards from my journalism training and apply that to the internet, so that's what I try to do.
All right, give us a little bit about of background on this whole process by which the spaceport came to this vote. I mean, it seems to have been driven at its earliest stages by involvement with the state government, by commercial interests, and then sort of only as a, I don't want to say afterthought, but later in the process, did it come down to the local level?
Sure. I think it started, I mean, the process of having a spaceport at Upham in New Mexico started 20 years ago or so, but only when the technology caught up and it became feasible, I think, to actually try to do this. That was several years ago, just a couple of years ago. And it was in the 2006 legislature where Governor Richardson asked for the money to fund the spaceport. And one of the political angles here is that the spaceport's in southern New Mexico. It's more than 200 miles away from Santa Fe. And state government, which is based in Santa Fe, is traditionally Santa Fe-centered. Giving a lot of money to a massive project in southern New Mexico was going to encounter a lot of resistance. And we had a bipartisan group of legislators from down here working with a very strong-willed governor, and that was very important in making this happen, who went to the legislature and said, we want the entire funding for this thing. And the legislature said no, and the governor pushed back. And what they finally agreed on was approving about $115 million of state money on the condition that local counties would approve these gross receipts tax increases to help fund some of the project as well.
Okay, so it was not necessarily a matter of economic necessity that there be a local tax component to it. It was just kind of a political compromise.
Absolutely. In fact, the state is largely dependent on oil and gas revenues for its annual budget, and as everybody knows, this has been we're in a period of higher increasing gas prices. New Mexico has had a ton of revenue in recent years. The state could have easily funded the entire project. In fact, they're looking for things to fund that don't necessarily add to the size of the permanent budget, so capital outlay type projects where it's a one-time expense. They could have funded all this, but the legislature did not want to go that route.
Now, is there really a big political divide between northern New Mexico and southern New Mexico, and is it just a kind of a hurt feelings thing that's perpetuated over years, or is there actually a big divide in what political issues are between the two parts of the state?
It's a little bit of both. Southern New Mexico has tended to remain more rural, even though Las Cruces is the second biggest city in the state, and it's become more metropolitan in recent years. It is still a farming community, and it's making the shift right now from a farming community to a more urban area. And it's something in the last decade or so and in the next decade or so that this community is watching happen. So that's part of the issue. Southern New Mexico tends to be more conservative. Even the Democrats are more conservative Democrats, whereas in northern New Mexico, they're generally more liberal Democrats. There's some ethnicity issues, whereas in northern New Mexico, particularly in Albuquerque and Santa Fe area, when you hear the term Hispanic, you're talking about people who actually have their roots in Spain, whereas in southern New Mexico you hear Mexican, or people actually came from Mexico, and so there is a racial issue that creates part of this divide too.
All right, now tell me a little bit about the local politics involved in this, because it looks as though the state came up with more just over half what the funding is going to be required to build the spaceport, and it's going to provide. I mean, if this thing does anything at all, it's going to have to provide some incredible opportunities for southern New Mexico that have never been there. It appears to be a situation where folks have seen their kids leave the area over the years because there was really nothing for them to do other than continue farming. And this would look to be a great catalyst for economic development. Why did it run into so much local opposition? Are people intimidated by this?
I think there's a lot of issues. One is, a lot of people like that this is a farming community. Las Cruces is a rapidly growing city. It has been for years, but it's largely a retirement population that's moving in from New York and California and places like that. We do have a strong government sector. We have White Sands Missile Range. We have the university. There's some research. So there's a lot of infrastructure for technology here, but there's not a lot of industry. And so you're right. We have New Mexico State University here, and it's common for people, young people, to go to college here and then leave to Phoenix, to Albuquerque, to Denver, to Dallas, or beyond even. And so there is that aspect of this will create jobs, and that was one of the big things that supporters of the tax campaigned on, is this is going to create jobs, it's going to give our young people a chance to stay here. On the other side, you have, because we have the founder of Amazon.com building his own smaller scale. It's a completely different project, but building a sort of spaceport, I think 90 miles east of here, east of El Paso, and he's doing that on his own. So we have people here who say, why doesn't Virgin Galactic pay for this spaceport? It's their spaceport. And trying to explain to some people the concept of airports are publicly owned and funded, spaceports are publicly owned and funded, this should be the same. They don't see that because they said, well, only rich people will go to space. What benefit are we going to get from this?
Well, and that brings me to something I saw on your blog, and it was posted on Friday, and it has to do with reaction from the opponents of the spaceport ballot referendum. And in particular, Oscar Vasquez Butler, is that his correct name?
Oscar Vasquez Butler, yeah.
He's a Doña Ana County commissioner, and he announced that there would not be a challenge to get a recount because he said the group doesn't have the money. But the quote was, quote, this is rich against the poor, unquote.
Yeah.
And it sounds almost as if, commercial interests come into this area expecting, a warm reception by people who could use some industry. And some people appear to be looking at this as, please leave us in our poverty.
Right. This is a very poor county. Las Cruces is doing pretty well, but outside of Las Cruces, which is more than half the population lives outside the city, is very rural. This is one of the poorest counties in the nation. There's a very extreme lack of infrastructure. Last summer we had a lot of flooding, which you wouldn't expect in the desert, but we had a period of intense rains over 3 or 4 weeks. to the point that some dams overflowed. We had Hatch actually flooded. The village of Hatch flooded. It was under 5 feet of water at one point. And so that immediately began an assessment of the county's flood control system. And the estimate was, if I'm correct, $200 million that they need to upgrade this. So when a couple of commissioners came in and said, now we want to talk about raising the gross receipts tax to help fund the spaceport, Commissioner Butler and others said, wait a minute, we need this money to build our flood system back up, and we need roads, and we need streetlights, and we need sewer systems. And it's a difference in thinking short-term and thinking long-term to some degree. You have some people who say, we have these immediate needs. If we can afford a gross receipts tax increase of 0.25%, that's $6.7 million a year that we could put into infrastructure, that roads in these communities, sewers, stuff like that. Others have said, no, we need to invest in economic development, which will bring businesses here, which will increase our tax base so that we can spend more money on infrastructure in the future. They've said, we don't have enough money now to fix all these problems. What we need to focus on is a way to increase the money that's in our pockets to do this stuff with.
My guest for today's Aero News special feature is Heath Hausman, who has a great blog called Heath Hausman on New Mexico Politics. You can find this blog on the web at nmpolitics, as in New Mexico Politics, nmpolitics.net. And Keith, when we come back from our break, I'd like to talk a little bit about the spaceport itself, because so far we've talked mainly about the politics.
Sounds great.
We'll be back with more in a moment. This AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How smart is the engine in your aircraft? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as smart and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services and their state-of-the-art engine management system. Both the V220 and the V300T feature a fully redundant and certified engine management system that controls all engine operation parameters. This EMS includes a true FADEC that manages propeller pitch and other elements of engine operation not usually controlled by the EMS in piston aircraft engines. The EMS automatically provides an optimum fuel mix by constantly measuring the manifold pressure, ambient pressure, engine speed, and throttle positioning, and calculating the appropriate fuel injection timing for each cycle and cylinder. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at theaircraftengine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Okay, you got the license and now you're renting or even own a plane. Now what? Hi, I'm Tom Gresham, host of Wings to Adventure Television, and every week on the Outdoor Channel, we show you incredible places you can visit in your plane. Shot in spectacular high definition, Wings to Adventure captures cool planes, interesting people, and fly-in getaways you haven't heard of. Plus, we always have fun. There's more info at wingstoadventure.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest today is Heath Hausman, whose blog on the web is called Heath Hausman on New Mexico Politics. It's a great political news resource for New Mexico politics, and Heath has been following the story of the New Mexico spaceport. Or I guess technically we should be calling it Spaceport America, right?
Yeah, they officially named it that several months ago. They've got a logo that plays off that, and that is the official name of it. So,
Heath, if you would, take just a minute and help our listeners understand where we are now in the funding process for this thing. The state is in with well over half of what it's expected to cost to build it. It looks like the feds will come in for $25 million. Dona Ana County is now in for $49 million, which will be paid back through part of this new 0.25% sales tax. But there are two counties left with local referenda yet, in Otero and Sierra counties. Is there still a chance this thing could be derailed if they don't come to the table?
If you talk to state officials, they would tell you that those two counties are critical to the project, but I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration. The reality is the state has approved at this point $125 million. The estimated cost is $198 million. Doniana County has now pledged $49 million. So they're most of the way there. The feds have not actually committed any money yet. They've been asked for $25 million. Senator Bingaman has pledged to try to get that, Congressman Pierce from southern New Mexico. So that looks like there's a good chance there will be some federal money. So they're most of the way there. They're just about all the way there. If the other two counties approve tax increases, I think together that would raise about $9 million for the spaceport. I think the number is about $6.6 million from Otero County and $2.3 million from Sierra County. Neither of those commissions, the way the state set this up is the county commissions cannot just raise the tax with a vote on their own. Normally counties can raise taxes that way, but in this case, they have to take it to the voters. So what those county commissions have to do is vote to hold an election. I think both those counties were waiting to see what Doniana County did, because without the big chunk of money from Doniana County, it wasn't going to matter if the other two pass the tax increase or not.
Okay, now if the other two don't pass the tax increase, will that matter?
I think it'll make it a little more difficult for them to find funding. They'll have to look elsewhere. They'll have to go back to the state and say we need another $10 million, or go to the feds and say we need $10 million. But it's not an insurmountable hurdle, like another $50 million would have been very hard to obtain if they didn't get the tax increase in Doniana County.
What does this do, though, to the inter-county political picture when one county's paying their way through this and two others would not be?
That's a good question, and I think the argument down here has been Las Cruces, you know, because of the population in Doniana County is about 200,000 people, because of the infrastructure that exists here, but this is where the industry is largely going to locate. So Doniana County will see the most benefit. The spaceport is in Sierra County. Truth or Consequences is the city nearby there. It's very small, only a few thousand people. They will benefit some, too. Otero County is on the other side of White Sands Missile Range. I think its benefit, people expect, is mostly going to be tourism, because people might, when they're coming to the spaceport, they'll also go to White Sands. There's a space museum in Alamogordo in Otero County. So they expect them to benefit to some degree, which is why Doniana County has been asked to increase the tax 0.25%. Sierra also 0.25%, because the spaceport will be located there. Otero is going to be asked for 0.125%. So, that's a good question. But those three counties, one of the arguments of the residents who oppose the tax living in those three counties have said, well, the entire state's going to benefit, so we should have a small tax increase statewide. So I think you have to look at the most of the benefit will be in Doniana and Sierra counties. There will also be some in Otero, and it kind of goes out from there.
Well, and in all fairness, the state is chipping in more than any of those counties already.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me ask you about the spaceport from your point of view. I mean, you come at this not as a space geek, but as a journalist. What kind of difference is this going to make to New Mexico, and how exciting is this to people in general in terms of, you know, being the Cape Canaveral of the 21st century?
I think those who supported the tax, or the spaceport's biggest supporters, whether they supported the tax or not, are very excited about this. They look at it, I think you can step back from a historical perspective and look at this and say, some community is going to do this. Some community is going to build the first truly successful, from the ground up, spaceport and attract a bulk of the industry and become the center of commercial space. And this is what Las Cruces is now trying to do, and having approved this tax. And so, one of our Doniana County commissioners down here, Bill McCamley, who pushed this the hardest, he probably gave 50 presentations between December and the vote last week to different groups asking for support. He personally went out and fundraised most of the money for the group that campaigned for this tax. We had an event down here yesterday where the governor came down and everyone got together and celebrated the tax approval, and Commissioner McCamley and others just had uncontrollable smiles on their faces. They are so excited about what this is going to mean for this community.
Well, what do you think it means? I mean, from your perspective personally, what does it mean for mankind and space exploration?
I think it has the potential to change everything. Having the potential for space to be affordable, I mean, right now it costs $20 million to go into space if you're a private citizen, right? And this would mean $200,000, which is an infinite leap in decreasing the cost, and it'll only go down from there. And that's only one aspect of this thing. I mean, in the future, we'll probably have NASA contracting with spaceports like these. It can be a place to go to the International Space Station, to go to the Moon, to go to Mars, to go to hotels in space, to take a 15-minute flight from the continental United States to France. I mean, it's the potential is endless.
Well, now, the commercial aspect of it intrigues me, because one of the things that has affected, I used to live in Central Florida, and one of the things that really affected the value of the Kennedy Space Center to that state was the fact that it was constantly at the whims of the ebb and flow of federal budgeting. Now,
sure.
a commercial space venture, if it's viable, is going to be a lot more stable.
Right, and that's the question, is will it be viable? And Virgin Galactic has signed a memorandum of agreement. Now, they haven't yet signed a lease, stating their intent to pay rent that will equal $20-something million over the course of a 20-year lease. Of course, opponents of the tax right away said, or of the space war right away said, it's going to cost $198 million to build their facility. That's not making up for things. But that roughly $200 million, is an investment up front. And I think the goal of state officials is, from this point out, once we invest that initial money, the rent and the other fees that are collected will pay for the operation of the spaceport, the upkeep of the spaceport, and future expansions.
Well, and frankly, if you're going to build a new shopping mall and you can get JCPenney to commit to coming in and being your anchor store, you make them a deal. You don't make anybody else after that. And
right.
At some point, if other companies want to make use of this facility and its 10,000-foot runway and the fact that it's out in the middle of a 27-square-mile area where they can't hurt anything,
right.
That's going to have some value, and maybe they get charged more than what Virgin's paying.
Right. Well, and the value, in theory, will go far beyond the rents that people are paying to use this spaceport in, all the companies that move here and the tourism that comes into the area and the growth that we see in this area. Should just White Sands Missile Range employs several thousand people, but its impact on the economy is far, far greater than that. And just in the industry it brings in, and the other companies that come and locate here because White Sands is here, and the research aspect. So I think people are looking to that too as the real potential as far as benefiting the local area of what the spaceport will bring.
One of the political undercurrents through this whole thing has been it's been as much as stated in a couple of points, and that is that there are people in political life in New Mexico who think, New Mexico has to make itself known for something. To what extent did that drive approval of this thing?
I think it did to some degree, but we have a governor right now who is moving so quickly that this is one of many things. There was an article in the LA Times this week about how New Mexico has become the single serious challenger to attracting movies away from Hollywood, and that it's building up not only trying to get Hollywood companies to film movies here, but it's trying to attract the industry here, and it's having some success in the Albuquerque area of having companies relocate to Albuquerque. So there are a few projects like that, and the spaceport is one of them. Is it the one that has the most potential? I think it depends on who you talk to.
This thing is going to have to be built fairly quickly, if I understand correctly.
Yeah.
Richard Branson wants to be flying as soon as late 2009.
He plans to start launching before that from California, I think. If he's ready, his goal is to be ready even before that, and to have a couple of launches from Mojave before the spaceport here is even built.
Is this doable?
The state says it is, and that was one of the reasons that this tax was pushed so quickly. We don't have an environmental impact statement yet, for example, and a lot of the opponents said, why are we rushing? We don't have all the information we need to vote on this. We could approve a tax, and then the FAA could say, there's something environmentally sensitive about this area, and you can't build a spaceport here, which, there's a slight risk of that, but, 4,000 feet elevation, 27 square miles of flat with White Sands Missile Range next to it, which is a no-fly zone, it's hard to think of a much more ideal location probably anywhere in the world. So that's not likely, but that was what state officials said, is we can't wait. We need to go now. We have a slight advantage in that we have Virgin. Other spaceports that are being developed already have their FAA licenses yet. Spaceport America does not. But nobody else has an anchor tenant committed to them like Virgin Galactic. And so the state said, we need to go now. Virgin is ready, but they're only going to wait for us so long. Mm-hmm. So they'll look somewhere else.
All right. Well, when can we look forward to local referenda in the other two counties, do you think?
My understanding is Sierra County will be voting, the commission there will be voting in the next month on whether and when to put this on the ballot, and I have not heard anything yet about Otero County, but the state is pushing both to do it this year.
My guest is Heath Hauseman, who has a great blog on New Mexico politics at www.nmpolitics.net. And it's called Heath Hauseman on New Mexico Politics. Heath, the blog looks great. It's very professional. We appreciate talking to someone who's been this close to this story, and I have a feeling that before it's over, we'll be talking to you again.
Anytime. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.